Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for September 23rd. It's brought to you in part by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me via cyberspace this week with no crickets is Jim Allen. What's happening, buddy?
No crickets. I don't remember the crickets. I remember the swallows.
Oh, well, after the swallows came and went last week, the crickets kind of took over Jingo. I don't know if you could hear them in the background. If you play that show again, you can hear crickets all through the show.
Wow.
That'd be nuts. I'm like, where do we get all these crickets? I didn't hear them when we were talking.
Yeah, I thought they went out of fashion with Buddy Holly. Okay.
Oh, man. Way back that far, you're going to lose so many of our listeners.
Well, I haven't lost them all yet. you gotta give me some ambition, man. You got to cut me some slack, dude.
Okay, that's what I'll be cutting. All right, well, this
week... could be worse.
Just be slack, yeah. On this week's show, we've got an interview with John Bowker of the Yomiuri Giants. We're going to discuss the commissioner's sudden exit, Mr. Golden Arm, and more. Let's get started.
Clearing the bases!
All right, so I went out to talk to John Bowker of the Giants on Saturday, so I did get to see you yesterday. Good seeing you, bud. You look nice and thin.
Wow, he's just big and muscular. I don't know where the thin comes from, but...
I'm talking about you.
Oh, me? I thought you were talking about John.
I'm talking about you, man. It's good to see you.
Oh, okay. Well,
and, you look nice and thin. I'm jealous.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I got to show off my flab there.
But I did get to talk to John Bowker now. Yeah, he's been in and out of the lineup, similar to the way he was last year. I think he's actually had more at-bats this year,
yep,
which is good for him.
Yeah, and he's coming, now that he's getting a little more regular playing time, his numbers are going up a bit.
Yeah, I mean, the 13 home runs are nice. He's got 15 doubles, 41 RBIs. He's hitting .273 as a part-time guy. His on-base average is about .320, as I remember.
Mm-hmm.
So not bad if you project those numbers over a full season, which it probably wouldn't be because he'd be facing more left-handers, and they sit him during when a good left-hander is starting. But as you might recall, he had those two big home runs in the Japan Series last year.
Yep.
Yoshikawa, a left-hander. So
I recall that.
Yeah, lefty on lefty, not a bad matchup for that. And right after the interview later that night, John Bowker hit a home run.
He did indeed. He had a three-run shot that messed up. Let's put it this way. It was making me very uncomfortable as I was writing my game story from the Carp slam the Giants to the Giants win the pennant.
No, yes, I'm sure he was thinking about everyone's discomfort as he was rounding the bases.
No, I was very happy for him. He's a very humble guy, and as you hear when you play the interview.
Yeah, he's humble, but he's hardworking, you know, and I think that's obviously when you go to the Giants and they have so many meetings and they have a strict regimen, I hear from some of the other players who come from other teams, it's a lot more regulated and a lot more controlled environment than some of the other teams. And, but you never hear about him complaining and say, geez, we have another meeting or I have to do more work or anything. And he just works hard. And as he said, and he's going to say, you're going to hear in the interview, he just wants to be out there in the lineup and help contribute. And it's all about the team. And obviously when you're in the final year of your contract, those are the right words to say.
Well, anyway, I'm going to let him do the talking.
Oh, all right. Well, let's let him do the talking and listen to what he has to say.
All right. Our guest this week is John Bowker. Appreciate you taking the time for us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. You've had an interesting season. You were hitting really well at one point and then broke a finger and spent some time on the farm and been in and out of the lineup. What's the season been for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's been better than last year, you know, just trying to get in that lineup every day. It's kind of tough, but, you know, just trying to help the team any way I can, just work hard and just do my thing, you know.
How would you assess your season, numbers wise?
Season, like, you know, the team's in first place. You know, everything's about the team. I mean, I want to play, but you know, it's just about the team.
Hey, you played a lot of positions and stuff. What position would you, if you could play every day, what would you prefer to be?
It doesn't matter. Just every day, as long as I'm playing every day.
All right, team's on the verge of a title. I heard the Swallows are up 6-2 at the moment right now. So talk about this team and this, you know, winning a second straight CL title.
I mean, it's my second year in Japan, and just to be on two winning teams that, you know, win the Central League twice, like, you know, for me personally, it's been great. I think just, you know, we don't want to just win. We want to win the whole thing, so just keep on going.
You guys had a lot of expectations. Would you say you met the expectations, or you're meeting them, or you're exceeding them?
Yeah, I mean, so after winning it last year, you know, a lot of teams are going to come out and play, you know, play hard against us. They want to beat the Giants, but, you know, we try to treat everything like this is, you know, just a normal game. Try to win every game possible. At the end of the season, I think you're in a good chance to do well.
Yeah, what about the expectations, though? Did you, I mean, everybody expected this.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the Giants, like, you just want to be, you know, in first place. And, like, that's the expectations that the fans have. That's what it, you know, if it's not first place, you know, it's probably, like, a disappointing season for the Giants.
Yep. Now, the teams in the Central League, like the Tigers and the Carp, they're playing pretty well. It looks like they're both going to be in the postseason. How do you evaluate each of those teams?
Both those teams are pretty strong, you know. The Tigers, you know, got some good pitching over there. The Carp got some good pitching. Like, you know, they got some good bats, so they're going to be tough in the playoffs for sure.
What's the difference between those teams? Like the Tigers, their overall team speed, what's better, their bullpen, their base stealing ability? What are the details of the little?
Yeah, I mean, they both have a pretty solid all-around team, and, you know, the Tigers have some speed. I think the Carp even has some speed, so, you know, just we're not really worried about, you know, the opponent. We want to just, you know, go out there and, you know, take care of business ourselves.
Now, you guys had a series in Hiroshima recently where they swept you, and it didn't look good, but is that more about them, or is it more about the status of where your team was?
I mean, I think, you know, that's a good team over there, and, you know, it's a long season. We're going to lose some games, but, I mean, you know, it's a new series that we're going into tonight, and I think that, you know, as long as we just take care of business, like, you know, we have a pretty good team over here, so I think we just need to take care of business.
All right, the commissioner recently decided he was going to step down because of this ball gate situation. What's your take on it? Does he deserve to have to quit his job, or should he stay, or what's your opinion?
I mean, you know, I don't really know all the details of why he's stepping down, but you know, I'm sure that, you know, I'm sure he has his reasons, but I'd rather not really comment on that. So.
Okay, that shoots down my next question, which is okay. I mean, tell me about the ball in your eyes. Was it that big of a change? People are reporting overseas that the ball is juiced, and I keep trying to tell them, like, I don't understand the entire physics behind it, but the ball is not juiced.
No, I mean, there's not that much of a difference. Like, it definitely doesn't, the ball here doesn't fly like it does in the States. And, you know, as a hitter, you want that ball, you know, you want that ball to fly. So hopefully they make it more like, you know, more even, you know, back in the States, like, make it like that.
The big change with the ball, though, is that when you go to different parks, they were using different balls. And so now everybody's using the same ball. I think that was the biggest change about the ball, and that still hasn't changed.
Wait, it's different balls at every stadium?
There used to be. I think it was before you came.
Yeah.
So if you were to play a Jingu, you'd be using a different ball.
The same ball?
But now Mizuno is the maker of all the balls throughout the league.
I see why they do that. I mean, because, you know, I'm sure each company makes their ball like a little bit different. So you want it even right there. But, I mean, I think they should, I think they're on the right track, like, right now.
All right. So you guys are about to win this thing. The playoffs are the big deal, you just said. So what are your expectations for the team going into the playoffs?
You know, I think we're going to have a little bit of time off, you know, if we clinch this
probably
thing.
A lot.
Yeah, or a lot of time off. So, you know, just to stay in shape, try to stay as fresh as possible, because those other two teams are going to be playing. So, you know, just try to stay in shape, stay fresh, and go in there with, you know, a good frame of mind, I think.
All right, now what about you? What are your plans for next year?
Next year, I mean, I want to come back. I want to, you know, I enjoy playing here, playing with the Giants, so I want to, you know, I want to be back.
And that's Zach. All right, buddy, well, good luck. Appreciate it. Appreciate the time. I know you didn't have much today. Thanks.
All right, no problem.
Okay.
All right, thanks again, Mr. Bowker. It was good talking to you. He's got such a nice swing, man. I really like his swing.
Yeah, he puts a sweet swing on it for sure. He's in a, you know, he's in a tough. I was thinking about that. We were I was talking with Scott Matheson a few weeks back. One of the times we were talking with Scott Matheson, Scott was a little frustrated that the Giants might be a better team if they put the best guys out there all the time.
Better.
Yeah. In the sense that, you know, they'd clinched the pennant a week earlier or something. They got a lot of talent, and, you know, it's hard not to use. I'm not a big fan of Yoshinobu Takahashi, but, you know, he's just played so well this year.
Yeah.
That it's, you can't really just say, well, let's put John Bowker out there because he could play better if he played every day. And Kamei's, you know, and you got to give Kamei a chance because he's going to be around longer than Takahashi is.
Right.
So they got a lot of playing time for that extra, you know, that left-handed hitting outfielder, and they got three of them. So it's really hard for Bowker, as well as he has played, to get more playing time than Takahashi's had, because Takahashi's been phenomenal since he came back in the middle of the season.
Yeah, that's a really great point. That's a crowded outfield in that respect for left-handed hitting outfielders who, you know, Bowker can play. He can play first base, but he's not getting a lot of time there either.
Well, and, sure, because Lopez has been very consistent at first base. It doesn't make sense to switch him.
Right.
What it does make sense is to play both, and this is what makes sense to me, is essentially to give all three of them playing time. And having two come off the bench, having been in games, to me that makes plenty of sense because, you know, you got them and you want to, you know, you don't want dead wood on the bench.
True.
At any time.
True.
You don't want guys you're not going to use. So one of the things I do like about Hara is that he uses his guys. Of course, you know, we've complained about him using, you know, putting one ads out for more second basemen because the 20 on the Giants 70-man roster aren't enough for him.
It's not that they're not enough. They don't produce at the right time for him.
Yes, or I don't know what they
something,
don't.
Yeah.
Well, some of them don't field and some of them don't hit, and none of them seem to be what he wants at any particular moment. Anyway, so that's my bit about that. I sympathize with Scott's thoughts, but, you know, first of all, yes, John would be a better player every day because it helps to make adjustments when you're in there every day. Kamei would be a better player when you're in every day, and Takahashi can't play every day because he's just not that healthy.
Yeah, so, he's susceptible to injury, and if you do that, you're going to wear him out.
Sure. So, you know, it's a solution. It may or may not be the best solution, but, you know, it works for them. I do like listening to John. I did have a chance to talk to him after he hit his home run last night, and he was just, you know, we go up there and work hard all the time, and we don't give up. You know, this is standard ball player stuff. So much of what he says is kind of standard ball player stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, we work hard, we prepare, you know, go out and do what he can to, you know, do what you can to help the team, put the team in a position to win the game, you know, essentially every at bat, which is, you know, what he's supposed to do.
Don't give away at bats, right?
But what I really liked was the fact how appreciative he is of being on the winning team. Because that's not, you know, he could just as easily be playing for the Oryx Buffaloes.
Yeah.
And the thing about, you know, okay, let's say if he's an everyday player, that's, you know, if he's the cleanup hitter and getting to play every day and having some fun and contributing on a daily basis, you know, getting into more winning games, that's fun too. But it's not fun being at the bottom of the league.
Right.
And winning is great because it takes a lot of the sting out of a lot of the little frustrations that happen. I think especially for a foreign player in Japan, you know, a lot of the annoying things. You know, you can put up a lot. You can put up with a lot if you're a part of a winning team.
Right. Right. Well, I remember the interview with Scott Matheson, and I think I said it on the show that that overriding or prevailing theme that the Giants players have, at least the ones we've talked to, especially the foreign guys, is that, hey, I'd rather be on this team than another team because all those teams are chasing us. And I like their mojo. You know, I like their confidence. And that's what it's all about, because it's all about winning, which I've also talked about in terms of with the Giants, their mentality is, hey, let's go out there and figure out how to win. That's the key to this thing. That's the goal in this thing. Let's figure out how to get it done. Let's keep battling. And these guys do it. And it's not, it's just because they think that way. They're thinking, okay, how can we get better and how can we do things better? How can we prepare ourselves to win and how can we execute when we get on the field? And you know, everybody talks about staying calm and staying in the moment and all those things. I just think that they have expectations and they go out there with the idea that these guys have to try and beat a better team. Right. And they're not better than us. And that's, you know, that confidence, you can, I think you can see it. You can see it in the way they approach the game.
Well, there is. I'll tell you, I think about this a lot because Hara, they were making some point about this tonight in the newsroom about the sports department at Kyoto was sending stories saying how now Hara has tied Nagashima with six league titles.
Mm. And congratulations to the Giants.
Yeah. And I was thinking that what's the difference between Hara and the guy who managed between his first 2 years and the last 8 years? Mr. Horiuchi. Now, the Giants had a ton of talent in 2004 and 2005 after Hara quit from, it's a long story and I've said it before, so I'll skip it now. He quit and then came back 3 years later. He was brought back 3 years later when the Giants fell flat on their butts.
Right.
Now, I think they had an incredible amount of talent in 2003 and 2004.
Or 2004 and 5?
Excuse me, 2004 and 5. And they did nothing. And largely because the feeling was, we're good enough to win, we should win, let's just win. There was no sort of plan. It was just like, we're going to go out and win. And when they didn't, they really didn't have a plan.
Yeah, they had a bunch of power hitting guys who
right.
were expected to mash the ball every swing and not enough pitching. And yeah, you're right. When the plan
didn't have enough. They didn't have enough pitching. They didn't have enough defense. You know, they were trying to cram the field with these guys who couldn't play defense.
And couldn't run.
These were some guys who could really help a team, but they didn't sort of like pitch in and say, we are the team. We need to get it done. It was sort of like, it's just going to happen.
Mm.
And it kind of just dissolved. And it turned into battles between coaches, individual coaches and individual players and a manager. And the biggest name on the Giant at the time, Kazuhiro Kiyohara, you know, who the fans liked, who was a useless player for the Giants.
Mm.
And they hated the manager for sort of saying he's a useless player.
Right. Don't tell the truth.
Yeah,
don't tell everybody that. I could hit.
Well, he could hit. That wasn't the problem. The problem was he wasn't a team player.
Yeah.
He was a team player. He's one of those guys who's a team player when everything's going right.
Yeah.
So anyway, so the Giants now are a team, and I think that's the thing. They are a team. They're very well organized, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
We can argue about Hara's
philosophy on changing fetish
with second baseman or something. I don't know what that is. It's a little S&M thing going on or something.
Oh, no.
he just gotta like prove how painful baseball can be by throwing people out, throwing them into the grist mill or whatever that is out there.
Oh, enough. Jim Allen, relax. But,
I'm relaxed. I'm calm. But, you know, he's got his ways, but I'll tell you, he's a real team builder and, you know, and he deserves credit for that. He's gotten better. You know, it's fun to watch him on the field, on the dugout when they're winning and weird things happen on the field. He's out there going, boys will be boys.
Right, when they're winning.
Yeah, when they're about to clinch, though. They've already clinched the pennant. He's going, oh, isn't that nice? The guy got thrown out on a base running error. How cute.
How cute.
3 weeks
yeah.
ago, steam would have been coming out of his ears.
Yeah, which he tries not to show too often. But for me, what stuck out in this interview was, I think, the fact that, because I don't know how many of the reports you've been seeing all week, but for me, it's been driving me nuts, so when John said, hey, look, the ball's not juiced. I think that was the big moment for me in that interview. I've been seeing erroneous reports all over the internet. ESPN, I'm calling you out. CNN, I'm calling you out. Buster Olney, I'm calling you out.
Watch it. John's on your case, man.
All these other outlets, the ball is not juiced. You know, to put it into context, it has slightly more impact, I guess, than the original low-impact ball that they introduced in 2011. But it's still not anywhere near a live ball or a juice ball. It's just a little bit more bouncy. Now, I don't know. I don't know enough about the physics and I guess what we ran in our paper was the restitution coefficient.
The coefficient of restitution.
Or coefficient of restitution and all that stuff. All I know is that the numbers were very minimal and that the players say the ball has a little bit of increased bounce, but that's about it. It's nothing serious. And let's not go overboard, people. There's lots of resources out there. If these people would have just bothered to check a little bit and do any kind of homework, they would have found
the worst one.
I don't know.
You can forget the morons in the United States. You can almost forgive them for being ignorant.
No, I can't because we have the internet. If 20 years ago, I would have forgiven them.
Okay.
Not now.
So morons, watch out. John's on your case. Okay.
Right.
Now, Isao Harimoto said today that because the ball is juiced this year,
he said juiced or livelier?
He said he called it, they are using a flying ball.
Okay.
Which is the word they used for the ball in play when they were illegally, unusually responsive.
Okay. So.
Okay. He said because they're using essentially a ball that flies more than it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
If Sadaharu Oh were playing, he'd hit 70 home runs.
Oh, gosh. Is it the old boys crawling out of the grave to say, hey, we can hit the ball better than you new whippersnappers?
I haven't used whippersnappers in a column I haven't written a column in a long time, but I used that once.
Just slam the grave. casket shut. Put some more dirt on those guys.
My colleague mentioned that to me. I said, boy, that's a stupid thing to say. And he was giving me this look like, stupid, you can't call, he's a Hall of Famer. You can't say he's stupid. Well, it was a stupid thing to say because, one, the ball, as John said, the ball is not juiced, and I could actually show you the numbers.
Well, you can't show us, but you can tell us.
I can explain. Okay, now here's the thing. The ball that is in play this year appears to be exactly as lively as the ball the Swallows used before the dead ball was introduced.
Before the 2011.
Right. The Swallows used a very
standardized
dead
ball.
Yeah. The Swallows used the deadest ball in NPB.
Okay.
Because they have a fairly small park. And what happened was when they started they've always used a fairly dead ball. But it made Jingu, when everybody switched to these Mizuno frequent flyers, it made
infrequent flyers?
No, frequent flyers.
Oh,
the Mizuno balls. We're talking about a decade ago.
Oh, okay.
Oh, 15 years ago. And people's teams started switching from other balls to Mizuno.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was Jingu became a neutral park because the Swallows were using dead balls.
Ah.
Now, when the Swallows started using the same ball as everybody else, Jingu became the best home run park in Japan because it's the best home run park in Japan. Okay. The home runs that were hit in Jingu before the introduction of the new standard ball in 2009, 2010, I'm going to say from 2008 to 2010 because they made the park a little bigger in 2008. They increased the distance to left and right.
Mm-hmm.
By about 30 feet. Okay, 2008, 2009, 2010, the ball had essentially the number of home runs hit per inning at Jingu was essentially the number of home runs hit this season at Jingu per inning.
Mm.
Okay, so the ball then was dead, but the fact that everybody else is using a dead ball, I mean, the ball in play right now is equal to the deadest ball in use before 2011.
Okay.
Okay, and the balls that were used by other teams were borderline legal in the sense that they were way too, most of them were way too lively for the specs.
Okay.
So that made a big difference. The ball now is in no way lively.
Right. Right. And, but we keep reading about this, how this ball is juiced, and that's why Ballantyne has now the home run record for a single season. And it's also, I heard, on ESPN's baseball podcast.
Yes.
The reason
why Yozo Kato
decided to quit.
That's right, because a foreigner broke the home record. Home run record. The commissioner's gotta quit.
And they equated that to being the reason racial tolerance is not what it should be, or not what they thought it was when Ballantyne was allowed to break the home run record. He wasn't allowed to break the home run record. He was on record pace. They couldn't stop him. They tried all season.
He wasn't allowed to break the record. He broke the record. And as far as racial tolerance not being what it should be, well, you know, that's the life. Racial tolerance will probably never be what it should be. But that ain't the reason for the commissioner quitting, which we're going to get to in a little bit.
Yeah.
But the whole idea that a new, livelier ball – see, this is the effect of what we've all done, and Michael Westbay essentially had a good comment about this,
you know,
people look at things outside of their experience and they project their own, you know, it's normal. We project our norms onto other things. And if you don't know what those other norms mean and what's normal outside of your own box there, you tend to make really silly assumptions. And the assumption is, I think a lot of these people are thinking, well, if this happened in the major leagues, why would they keep a new ball a secret? Ah, because it's livelier. So anyway, people have to evaluate things outside their experience based on what they know, and it leads to kind of funny things. So, you know, if you're an American and if you heard that MLB had secretly introduced a ball and home runs were up, you would think it's a conspiracy.
You don't have to think. Pick up a cursor. Pick up a mouse. Get on the internet
and follow
check.
John Gibson. Ask John Gibson.
Something. Anything. Make some effort. They saw the reports, and I have to be honest. I think perhaps AP. I mean, they couldn't even get the home run right. They were reporting that it was a 3-run homer that he hit to break the record. So, I mean, how much can you trust a place that can't find readily available information on the internet? How much can you even trust them? I mean, I've been listening and believing all this stuff for years, and if their reporting is going to be that shoddy, I don't know what to do. We're here for you guys. We're here. Resources all over the place. Just pick up, you know, we're on the internet. You can find us. Anyway, so I wanted to put that to bed. I'm glad John said that. That was big for me. And getting back on track with his interview, I just like his whole demeanor in the thing, and just saying that, hey, look, I just want to be on the field. I want to be able to contribute. And we saw what he did last year in the postseason. I kind of expect some more big hits or some more good swings at least. And he drives the ball. He's a line drive hitter. I expect him to make good contact in the postseason, and we'll see how they do. Mm. They did. I said it in the interview. They went down to Hiroshima last week and got swept in a 3-game series, and then they lost the game that I interviewed when I interviewed him on Saturday, but they came back and won on Sunday. But the Carp are playing really well. They're looking, I said it before, they're looking like a playoff team. Looks like they're going to grab that third place, get into the playoffs, and they might make some noise, man.
I think the Carp could finish second. I like the way they're playing right now. And I like the Carp. I like the fact that essentially Nomura is playing the guys who are playing well, as opposed to the guys who are supposed to be playing well.
Yeah.
And I ain't going to name names, but that one guy ain't been playing at third base much.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we haven't seen Prince Araboy Dobayashi for a long time, and I don't think we need to.
Yeah.
We know what he can do. He's going to strike out, and he's going to throw the ball around. In between there, he might hit a home run and maybe drive in a run for you, but mostly more damage than good.
Well, I saw a wonderful – here's the thing is the Giants might very well have won the pennant on Saturday night had Nomura not made some defensive substitutions, because he had Brad Eldred starting in left field, which is a great thing because Brad Eldred's a heck of a hitter. And after the fifth inning, he took him out and put in Masato Akamatsu. Now, Masato Akamatsu saves one run in the seventh,
mm-hmm.
and he puts the eighth inning to bed by making a by running a whole long way to catch a foul fly. You know, these are plays that Brad Eldred would not make. He's got speed on the team. He's got a lot of guys. He's got a lot of talent. He's got a lot of defensive talent, and he's going to use it. And, you know, that's one of the weapons they've got, speed and defense. And finally, the Carp are sort of, you know, when they went to the dead ball, we were all in 2011. We thought, you know, the Carp are going to be a team that takes up, you know, takes this and run with it because of all their speed.
Yes.
And what did they do with it?
They walked in the wrong direction.
Yeah, they were like going, wait, the game's changed. What do we do? Run, run, run. Wait, we have to think about this.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, they're running now.
Yeah, they look good.
Now they have 9 games left.
And they're 4.5 games behind the Tigers. I don't think they're going to catch the Tigers, dude.
I think, well, I give them about a 1-4 chance.
All right, well, I don't think
necessarily they're a better team, but they're certainly playing a lot better than the Tigers right now.
I give you that, but they're 7 games behind them in the loss column. I just don't see that happening, but that series between those two teams, I was hoping that John would give me a little bit of a breakdown of those two teams, because what I'm seeing in the difference between those two teams right now is that the Carp, when they do play defense, and I mean the Carp and the Tigers, who are going to probably meet in the first stage of the Climax series, when I see the Carp running around out there with all their strong, with their best defensive players, they're really, really good defensively.
They are very good.
Didn't make these errors when the game is on the line, and we saw it in the final game of that series at home against the Giants last week, where they had a 4-1 lead and they almost blew it, and it was mostly because they couldn't make the plays. They had enough runs to cover up the bad things that they were doing, the terrible things that were happening in that inning.
But that still happens.
Yeah, they have more speed than the Tigers. They can match up on the mound with the Tigers. And you look at Eldred and Kita in the middle of that lineup, Ka'aihue, I'm pro at it now, and they can really pose a problem. And then Kenta Maeda throwing that first game, I think they can steal that first game. And then after that, the pressure's on the Tigers to get a game, and I could very much see them coming to Tokyo.
Well, like I said, I'm not convinced that the Carp won't be playing at home. I mean, that's important because the Tigers have a big home field advantage, although you wouldn't know it from their postseason record.
Mm.
As far as I know, their postseason record is 1 win and 6 losses since in the Climax series. So, including being swept by the Giants, swept at home once. It's not good, but those were a different manager, a different team. This is a better Tigers team than we've seen in a couple of years. I'll tell you, there's some interesting things about these two teams. The Tigers probably have it's hard to tell whether they have the best pitching or the best defense, but it's pretty good either way.
Right.
The Carp, I'll tell you what the Carp do really, really well. And nobody turns double plays like the Carp.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, nobody.
I like to know their infield. Yeah, and Kikuchi. You said earlier in the season that guy can pick him.
He is tremendous. And then they start with Soyogi, who's not bad. I like Soyogi as a defensive shortstop. You know who's better in the Central League right now?
Don't know.
As a starter, I don't think anybody. But they've got Shogo Kimura comes off the bench and he fills in at short, and he's better than Soyogi.
Yeah.
Even though he's probably older, he's old enough to be his father. Sorry, Shogo. I'm kidding. I kid because I love.
Yeah, we kid because we kid.
Because we can, baby. So anyway, Shogo's a terrific player. They've got he's just got a stack of gloves on that bench. Now they're a little strapped if they need big bats off the bench.
Yeah.
But as far as gloves, I like that. They've got the pitching. They've got the defense. You know, the offense is always a problem for the Carp, so we'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
But Hirose's healthy, and Maru is a great player.
Maru. Believe in Maru.
believe in Maru. What's that?
That's my little saying for him. He's had a breakout season, so I'm starting.
He's having a 16 home runs, leading the league in stolen bases, plays a pretty good center field. I gotta love that.
Yeah. Well, we'll break this series down when we get to it. It looks like it's going to be exciting. Let's go ahead and move along to Ballgate and Commissioner Ryozo Kato falling on his sword. So this announcement came on Thursday, 10 days before this so-called independent panel is supposed to release its findings or whatever this is. I don't even know what this is supposed to be. I can't imagine what the correlation is to that and what he said, Kato said in his press conference when he was leaving, talking about the lack of his vision being implemented. Talking about the Olympics and getting off to a fresh start. What in the world does that have to do with the ball?
I'll have to ask him.
We'll have to get back to him. He'll have to get back to us on that or something.
I know you expected it, and I didn't, because the people I talked to in NPB, basically everyone is saying, well, why would we get rid of the commissioner? The problem is not him. The problem is this system that he inherited.
Or the rogue secretary general who's out there supposedly changing the ball on his own.
That's the guy who was there. That was the guy he inherited.
Yeah.
And he didn't put it there. He didn't put the rules in place. And that when they broke down, he's essentially, he's like he didn't kick the tire. He didn't look over the car well enough before he decided to buy it.
Right. It said as is, and he took it as is, and now
assumed it worked. And
yeah.
There was a big problem waiting there for him. So anyway, when the thing first broke, I thought he might resign because he's in charge.
Yeah. Well, I thought he would resign a lot sooner if he was going to do it. Why wait?
Exactly. Here's the thing. Now, everybody I talked to said, we trust him. It's not an issue. It's not an issue of trust with us.
Right.
But this character, Shimoda's got to go.
Right.
There's no way he's going to stay in his job. Okay. Anyway, he says, I'm not going to resign. So we've got a case of somebody saying they're not going to resign. They've got somebody who's got the support of some people in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Ostensibly the support of the most powerful person in baseball, Watanabe Tsune. Oh, that's what he says.
Right.
We never know. It's hard to separate what he says with what he actually is doing. He's a bit of a kingmaker. Okay. And then all of a sudden, he got the initial findings of the report this past week.
I suspected that, but
yeah.
On Tuesday, I
heard.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, well, guys, gotta go. Like, what?
Yeah. Well, I read a couple of newspaper articles, and I was out at Tokyo Dome on Saturday, obviously, and I talked to as many reporters as I could. And also, Wifey came up with a good point. She said, you know what? In Japan, everything is done by your stamp, your inkon.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically your signature. Now, how could somebody go out and say, well, we want to change the ball? And you've got to stamp things. Every documentation is taken on every level.
Of course.
Who's going to take his stamp and stamp all these papers without his knowledge? It's just not possible.
Oh, it is very possible.
Well,
because I work in offices where, in the office where I used to work and you still do in another office, where the Bucho's stamp is for documents when he's not there. You just go into the drawer and get it.
Yeah, well,
I'm not kidding. I
hear that part of what you're saying, but I just can't fathom that. I didn't believe it for a second that he didn't know.
See, and I still believe he didn't know.
And I'm not sure that he didn't know that there was some little change going on. I just don't think that he thought it was going to be this much. I got to be honest. I just think he thought it was going to be a slight.
I don't think he knew at all. I don't see any, that's the ridiculous thing. I think what happened was, the commission came out and said it's ridiculous that he didn't know.
Yeah, and that's what the reporters I spoke with said. Hey, look, whether he knew or not, it's lack of institutional control, lack of leadership.
Well, see, here's the thing. I've said it before. Okay, he found out about this thing in May. Why didn't this guy who caused the problem quit
or get fired?
No. Here's the thing. The guy who's got to quit is Shimoda. Because the minute the commissioner came out and said there's no problem with the ball, all of a sudden we've got a ticking bomb.
Yes.
And this guy is now, he's looking for a cave to hide in. You know, oh, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It's like elementary school stuff. It's like, you know, the dog ate the homework stuff.
It is, because that's the exact, the most improper thing you can take to a press conference is, I didn't know.
Right.
It's the worst response. So, I mean, the reporters I spoke to, that's what they didn't like the most, is that he came out and he actually uttered that phrase. And that was his excuse. And, the, you know, the leadership, and I understand the players wanted to vote him out. And I don't think there were a lot of people who were in his corner. I don't think he had anywhere else to go. And like I told you, I said, you know, he's leaving. And I'm just kind of concerned about the future now. Not that the commissioner does all that much, but people want to bring in somebody they think is strong and has a good knowledge of baseball and blah, blah, blah. But we also have to have a person who's got an understanding of laws and how to implement this internationalization that they want to have with MLB.
And the last person they had with a knowledge of the law created the biggest problem in Japanese baseball's ever had, which was Nigoro, who said, I know about labor law. I wrote the laws. And then he said the players have no right to strike because they're not employees. And I know because I wrote the law. And they took that to court and said, the court said, are you kidding us?
Yeah.
Are you joking? And then he quit.
Yeah, yeah.
He quit and came back.
Yeah, this is the fourth commissioner to go out to leave during a term. So I don't know who's worse.
Well, Nigoro quit and then he came back as interim commissioner for like a year and a half.
Yeah, and everybody had forgotten. So we knew there was going to be a fall guy. I know they bungled the situation from moment zero of day one of this whole thing. And the culprit, Shimoda, still has a job.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So anyway, let's move on to the future now. I don't know what the findings are going to be for this panel. Kuwata is going to come out and smile in that very tender, loving voice that he has and say whatever it is that he says.
They're going to let him talk?
He's the face of this panel, isn't he? He did the speaking at a press conference that I saw.
Wow.
So
turn up your volume on your mics, everyone.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be nice and gentle, this message that's delivered. But now, you know, the players were questioning the timing of the departure and all that stuff. I saw Shinya Miyamoto of the Swallow said, you know, why now? Why can't he go after the season? This kind of this time.
Yeah, Mr. Odd. Why would you tell anybody you're leaving before the season's over? I hate people
He said before the season, but not after the Japan series. So it's just kind of weird. So anyway, I actually talked to Wayne Grosick, our colleague who writes for the Japan Times, writes a column for them. And I said, who do you think should be the next commissioner? And he said, Atsuya Furuta.
I knew, because that's Wayne's, he hasn't changed his position on that since before Kato was chosen.
Oh my goodness. I hadn't heard. Or wouldn't have asked.
You missed that class.
I wasn't privy to that information.
Okay.
My idea was, you know, I was thinking that it should be someone young enough to still have a lot of energy to inject a little bit of energy into NPB because it seems like it's soggy. It's like a soggy sandwich. And we need somebody with some progressive
these
images. You like these images?
It's like
falling on swords and soggy.
Well, you had a metaphor and a simile. Okay.
All right. So somebody who will fight with ownership and be tough and better than having somebody who's a puppet. So I was thinking Hiromitsu Ochiai.
Wow, that would go over like a ton of bricks.
I'm sure it would.
Yeah, that would be interesting. He knows a ton about how to make money in different investments.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he can invest NPB's money wisely. Oh wait, they don't have any money.
I was going to say, they're paying for that expensive office, so that's right, where all the money goes.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah. Well, young
enough.
Yeah. Yeah, trying to think of somebody. I mean, there are people, a lot of people I like because of what they stand for, but you also have to be, to some degree, you have to be a leader. You have to be a real leader because you need to delegate. The problem with Kato was not, well, it's not, first of all, he's a diplomat, not a leader.
Right.
And obviously there were institutional issues that he did not notice. until they were too late. He had his, he always had his eye on big things. So we need somebody who has the big things, but also somebody who can get things done. Kato did make some changes. He did bring in a uniform ball, which I really applaud. I think that was very important for Japanese baseball, that everybody used, be using the same ball.
Well, he lives by the ball, and now he's dying by the ball.
Wow. Guy's got ball.
Oh, no.
Okay. The
strike three.
Wow. Swings and misses. Okay.
Well, you know, the reason I'm saying Ochai is he's a proven leader. He's going to delegate, but he's also going to get his hands dirty. He's going to be involved with things. And his leadership skills are in question.
Right.
And the other stuff, the technical things, the details about laws and all that stuff, someone else can handle.
Well, I could also see Ochai saying, look, the fans will come to the game if teams try to win. So we're just going to change every law that prohibits teams from doing whatever they can to win.
Well, no.
So we're going to have 5-hour games.
No, stop it.
teams will be required, you know, teams that do stupid things will be punished. And, you know, it's like any waste of time for fan service, because the fan service is what happens between the lines, you know. It's
okay, all right. I'm cutting you off. No more beer for you. Just stop going.
It's not the beer talking. Okay.
So listeners also to submit their ideas, because I know some people had some ideas, so go ahead and send those in.
Okay.
And we'll move along in the show. We'll go ahead and talk about Masahiro Tanaka, which is its weekly Makun.
Indeed.
He won again on Saturday, and I put up on Twitter, I said, okay, his routine has been thrown off. He's going to pitch on a Saturday now, so let's see what that does. And all that did was give him an extra day of rest, and that seemed to do it, because we hadn't seen this Makun in a little while, but he came out and he was dominant again.
Yeah, he was good, and here's the thing with so many of these games in the streak where, in fact, against the Fighters, second time against the Fighters, that the Fighters got a lead against him and then started playing like they were 10 runs down instead of a run ahead or 2 runs ahead in the previous game.
It seemed to me that they said, okay, let's do all we can do to protect this 1-run lead. And they started to play
exactly
like the Fukudomes of the Kosuke Fukudomes of the 1990s.
Like it was the last inning of the Japan series, and they couldn't allow anything. They couldn't give up anything. They had their backs to the wall, and they were throwing the ball around and dropping it and doing everything else they could to lose.
They were tight. They were nervous. They were like little kids. It was like Little League when you went out there for the, you know, this game is to play in the Little League World Series. We got to win, you know, and everybody's like, they couldn't relax and just play the game. They were just, I mean, the throw Eiichi Koyano made, I taped the game, so when I got home.
Man, that was that. I've like, never seen him make that bad a throw.
It's a Gold Glove winner and not for no reason, not just because he's a
and here's
nice
a guy.
Guy.
I mean, he's got to lob the throw over the guy, and if the throw is online, the guy's out by 10 feet.
Yeah.
And let's see if I can throw it to the backstop, so let's see what kind of mayhem that'll cause.
Let's see how much this ball bounces off of that backstop.
Well, I didn't get there. Somebody was there to kick it around a little bit.
Well, they had to jump and catch it. But, yeah, so Makun has now won 22 consecutive decisions this season.
So he's 22-0 this year, and his streak is now, what, 26 in a row?
26, dating back to last season. He's the first pitcher since Isamu Kida of Nippon Ham to win at least 22 games in a season since 1980. So, geez, he's beaten the Fighters 11 straight times since 2011. He's won 7 straight at Sapporo Dome. And like I said, he really looked dominant that day. He didn't really strike out all that many. I forgot to put down the numbers. I think it was...
I'm going to say 8
8 is what I remember. He just looked like himself again. So extra day of rest didn't seem to disturb his routine at all. He looks great. The Eagles won again on Sunday. They won 15-1. Their magic number is down to 5, so
correct.
They could win as early as, I think their game is on Tuesday, I don't know, but as early as Tuesday, perhaps Wednesday?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yep, so they could win their first league title, and this is, you know, I picked them, I believe, to finish third in our preseason prediction show, and they've exceeded my expectations. Andre Jones hit his, combined in the United States and Japan, hit his 400th home run today. He was his 25th of the season today. He's still not batting 250, but he's got a bunch of walks and he's hitting for power and he's driving and running. He's still striking out a little bit too much for me, but come playoff time.
Hey, go up there and show him how not to strike out, John.
No, I'm
well, even for you. I mean,
you know, the only thing I can tell him is stop playing umpire because he's watching a lot of pitches zip past. And I would, my advice to him would be swing that thing.
Well, he's also watching a lot of them from a distance that are getting called strikes.
I don't care. You know, I was told a long time ago, don't let the umpires decide. You know, if it's around the plate, have at it. You know,
and even if it's not around the plate,
hey man, if it's close enough to be called a strike, it's close enough to hit. That's what I was told when I was young. So, you know, let that thing fly. And once you put it in the umpire's hands, he might be, like I said before, singing and dancing back there, doing Michael Jackson moonwalks back there, and you're going back to the bench. So, you know, let it swing. So I would say he's playing umpire a little bit too much, but hey, he's had a really good season.
Has been. It's been, you know, the only problem with this season is the batting average because he's, you know, he and his WBC teammates are vying to have the most walks in Japan. I think between the two of them, they've got 185 now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got a lot.
Yeah, they're leading. They're both leading in their own leagues. He and Vladimir Ballantyne. And so, you know, the fact that his average is no longer 220, but closer to 240, and hitting fairly regular home runs and hitting a lot of extra bases.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? So, you know, that's a real good, you know, it's a real good, I don't know what his average is, 239 or 241 or something. It's a real good 241 average.
Yeah.
I mean, there are guys who've hit 320 in Japan weren't as productive, so.
It's true. So they're getting the production, they're getting the scoring, they might be able to outscore their number two through whomever, however many number of starters they're going to use in the playoffs and get enough run production to move on to the Japan series. It would be great. You know, I was talking to one of the reporters and I said, look, we've had a lot happen this season. We've had the surprise with Ballantyne and the home runs. We've had Makun in his streak. We've got the commissioner leaving. We've had other things here and there. This has really been a memorable season. So it wouldn't surprise me if the biggest surprise comes at the end when it's not the Giants who actually win the Japan series, but some other team. And I'm not saying it could be the Eagles, but the Marines won from third place before, and they're in second, and they're looking good. They're playing really well.
The Marines. The Marines are...
They're winning games. That's all I can say.
Well, they are this weekend.
Well, they've won enough to be in second place, and
well, they've got the series they really need to win is they took two of two from the Hawks.
Who started to turn things around.
Yeah, who were
I expected, even though
who were in second place the other day. So.
Yeah, but there are none of the guys I thought would be producing and contributing the way I thought, but here they are with a
But on the other hand, they got Akira Nakamura having a tremendous season as the leadoff hitter, Hasegawa having his best season yet, and he's had a couple of good ones.
Yep, all the guys.
Seiichi Uchikawa being the guy we expected, Matsuda doing about what we expect, and of course Yuki Inagita being a very good player, which we knew about, and Tomoaki Egawa. Chipping in.
Imamiya playing, doing enough. Their guys are doing enough. Hosokawa, you know, getting beaten up every which way but loose, but staying behind the plate and hit a home run the other day to help them win. I mean, they're getting production. So it's going to be a great playoff with those two teams.
Yep.
I don't think the Lions can make it back from where they are, but still, they're only one game behind the Hawks in the loss column, but they're five games behind them in the win column. But that loss column is not bad. If they can win, you know, they can climb up.
Wow.
Of course, that's the case.
I was just marveling at that logic. So that was okay. All so right. Listeners, you heard it here first. If they win, they can get back.
I'm going to jump through this cyberspace and backhand you. All right, well, let's talk about Hitoki Iwase of the Chunichi Dragons now. He passed Kazuhiro Sasaki, the Daimajin, for the most saves all time by a Japanese pitcher the other night. He locked down his 382nd save.
Yep.
And I was looking at some of his numbers. Now, he's going to be 39 in November.
Wow, and his body's only 47.
Yeah. And, you know, he was 20. I don't know if he started any games that those first three seasons. I think he was a starter. He did. And
he was originally a starter when?
He was 28-10 those first 3 years. So, and that was between starting and out of the bullpen. And then in 2003, he got his first save, and he had four that season, and then 22. And then a career high, 46 came the next season. And his ERA this year is 1.72. And his career best ERA came in 2006 when it was 1.30. I can't believe that it's that close this season because it doesn't seem like he's had that good a year.
Mm.
You know, the first year of the dead ball, 2011, he had a 1.48 ERA. But this is kind of amazing. I think he's secretly pulled off. I mean, he's got 36 saves this season. I think he's one behind Nishimura, or either he was really close with him. So he's up among the league leaders in this. And you think after that last season that he had with a dead ball that we know for sure, and his ERA was 2.29, and he blew a bunch of saves, and he didn't get to finish a lot of games, and they were starting to mix in other pitchers to help him through the ninth inning, maybe get a couple right-handers out so they could just face a couple left-handers or a right-hander with two out. And you look around, and he still had a really successful season. So I'm expecting him to come back next year, and I think he's going to go for 400 saves.
Well, why wouldn't he? I mean, as long as his body, he's quite an amazing pitcher for a variety of reasons. I mentioned, made a crack about his body being older than he is, but, you know, he's sort of had to reinvent himself about every 18 months.
Yeah.
Due to, he has a curved spine that causes him all kinds of troubles. And the pitching coach, your buddy, Mr. Morey, was saying that essentially he's had a different travel regimen than the team. So that he can, because travel wears him down.
Mm-hmm.
And so he will travel ahead of the team whenever possible to save the, you know, so that he can prepare, he can get his back ready for games. He's had to deal with the fact that his pitches are no longer getting people out and he has to come up with something new. He's been remarkably good at working with whatever he can find.
Yeah, I've heard that he used to be slider fastball when he was started out saving, and he's gone to curves and slurves and screwballs and you know, he'll try to throw anything. And you're right, he's had to reinvent himself and learn more pitches and make adjustments and try to get better with control and subtract and add. And
well, a couple of years we might get to see him, you know, come up with a kitchen sinker.
A kitchen sinker. R. I remember I think I saw this on TV, and I remember talking to you about how I saw OGI on TV saying, you know, when I was managing, I tried to get every game to him, and he said on this program, he said, look, I would talk to my pitching coach, and the pitching coach would say before the game, hey, look, there's no Iwase today. Then OGI would say, well, then send him home. Get him out of the stadium, because if I see him there, I'm going to want to use him.
Mm.
And I found that kind of fascinating, and I look at Iwase, and he's quite remarkable because every other closer who's been great has had something. You know, either they throw really hard, or they have this unhittable pitch, or they've got a personality, or they're a bad boy, or something. And he's just slowly plodded toward this record that he holds now, and he's been under the radar, under the covers, under the turf. I mean, he's just a quiet soul, and he's so embarrassed and so humble when he gets any kind of notoriety or gets pushed in front of the spotlight. He's very respectful to the game and just appreciate, you know, what he's done and what he's been for the Dragons. Maybe he can be the commissioner.
I think he's got some. I think he's got unattended business there. And usually, you don't want as a rule, you don't want the Chunichi Dragons closer to be your commissioner. It's sort of a conflict of interest, you know.
Maybe
you
bring back the dead ball. Put that ball back to where it was.
Lifeless.
Of course, his ERA was higher with that ball, but anyway, that's beside.
But I think, you know, if you look at his career, if his career ends now, we get a dominant player on a great team with career best numbers in his group. And I can't think of a better, the only thing he's lacking to be a Hall of Famer is being charismatic.
Yeah.
So, That and Beijing. I think he's hired some people to erase Beijing from his resume.
But came out
speaking of the 2008 Olympic fiasco, that's all right. Everyone's entitled to make mistakes and so on. And
yeah, look at Gigi Sato. He dropped a couple balls, and right in his glove, and he's back in NPB. So
that's right.
Just to show you. All right, no questions this week, so we expect to get at least one next week, people. Send them to yakyujohn@gmail.com, and make sure one is an MP3, because Jim loves those.
I love to listen to your comments and hear what you sound like. It's so much better than having – I don't want to – it's not a cut against John to say it's better than hearing him read your questions, but it's better coming out of your own lips. Let us hear you.
Or you can leave us a message on the Facebook page, and we'll get to it on the show. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball.